And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Look, you know, New York, look, New York is the mecca of basketball. Right. And we hear from people all the time. Right. From players, from, you know.
Ding, ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. I am Jared Weiss. He is Fred Katz, Knicks writer for The Athletic. He's got a banger coming out on today, whatever day it is today, Friday, right?
He's got a banger coming out.
He's got a banger coming out.
What a way to start.
Hey, listen, he banged it out. It's a Donovan Mitchell to the Knicks. Why New York has the pieces to make it happen story. This is exciting. We've been waiting for the shoe to drop for a while. We knew that there was a chance Donovan Mitchell would get traded. We knew that he was interested in Miami and New York. And the noise is coming that New York is a strong possibility. Chony Jones, Shams Charania, they had the big piece coming out the day before. Fred breaks it all down here. Fred, explain to me why this is happening.
Well, there are various reasons why this is happening. From the Utah side, it's just once you trade Rudy Gobert and you get back a package of just basically future-looking stuff, right? Even the veterans that they required back, those are for the purpose of flipping those guys, right? Like Patrick Beverley is, if he starts the season on the Jazz, he won't be there very long. You know, that's for the purpose of flipping those guys, and they get back a bunch of picks. And it's just, you're at a point where you can lose with Donovan Mitchell, or you can lose with whatever you can get for Donovan Mitchell. And I think you can argue that the latter part of that is much more of an attractive option. I don't get the sense the Jazz are like rushing to trade Donovan Mitchell, that they need to get him out of there. First of all, there's no public knowledge, and I have no personal knowledge, that Donovan Mitchell has made any formal request to leave. So it's not like things are crazy awkward. It really just seems like a basketball situation. Second of all, Donovan Mitchell has 4 years left. He's going to have just as much trade value with 3.5 years left. It's really a situation where, you know, people can argue that Utah doesn't have the same type of leverage they did with Gobert, because no one's going to believe them when they say, we'll just run it back. Except I kind of would believe them when they say, we'll run it back, because sure, you have 4 years left of Donovan Mitchell. This is not, the clock is not running out on that. You have the opportunity to wait out a good deal. And Jared, as you know, the guy now running Utah is a guy you're very familiar with, and he is not one to get swindled in deals. He asks for a million things and doesn't settle for $999,999, you know?
Is that one less than a million? I have to do the quick math. But what's so great about this whole saga is just the way the reporting comes out initially from The Athletic, where it makes it sound like the Jazz are looking for 8 draft picks, which is, I can't even remember. Is there a legal limit to how many picks you can send out?
Well, so you can't
rule makes it that
it's just Sepian rules. So you can't trade picks in consecutive seasons. So the Knicks have all of their own picks, but they also own 4 picks from other teams, and you can trade picks out to 7 years out, which means the Knicks can trade of their own picks. The Knicks can trade their 2023, their 2025, their 2027, and their 2029 first rounders. So they can trade up to 4 first rounders. That doesn't include swaps. Swaps you can do in consecutive years. So technically, if you wanted to get absolutely insane about it, you could trade those 4 picks I mentioned. You could
Which
do swaps
Danny Ainge
in 24,
does.
26, 28. There you go. Yes, I'm sure he does. The Knicks also own Milwaukee's 2025 first, Washington's 2023 first, Detroit's 2023 first, and who is it, Jared? Who is it? Someone else is 2023. Dallas is 2023 Dallas, first yeah. as well. All those picks are either... The Dallas one is going to be in the 20s next year. The Milwaukee one is 2025, and it's top 4 protected. But look, Giannis exists, so chances are the most likely scenario is that's in the 20s. The Washington and the Detroit picks are a little more complicated. They're protected really far out, and they're protected pretty heavily now. I think the value in those a little bit is that, like, you kind of control a little bit of their future. If Washington wants to make a big trade, that pick is protected until 2026. They can't trade a pick. The next first rounder they can trade is their 2028 one. They have to hit you up and give you an asset to remove protections and that kind of stuff. And it could end up still being a late lottery pick because that's just kind of the ground that the Wizards live in. So you might just in 2025 get the 12th pick in the draft, you know? Those are, I think, more interesting than people give them credit for. But with the way the current landscape is, with all the Jazz got for Rudy Gobert, with all the Spurs got for DeJounte Murray, a swap, and two unprotected firsts, you know, it's just, it's, those Knicks picks are what will do it if they want to get Donovan Mitchell.
I love it when Fred Katz's former beats come into the conversation. It's always just, you just see the, like, the little extra smile on his face as he talks.
I have it. So much. Well, first of all, that's like half the league. And so it's not that uncommon.
It second of the Celtics all, too, right?
Oh yeah. The fact that the Thunder, who I covered, and the Knicks, who I currently cover, made a trade, trading the Wizards, who I previously covered, first round pick to the Knicks, was a big moment for me. I have intimate knowledge of that 2023 first rounder. That's the one they attached to John Wall to trade for Russell Westbrook a few years ago.
That is the most Fred Katz sentence I've ever heard in my life. So
I have a personal relationship with that future pick. That future pick is that is like a bouncing around. That's making its way around the league. It's like it's been really open. Like it's now gone to Washington. It's gone to the Thunder for Alperen Şengün. And now up to the Knicks. Who knows where it could be next? Maybe it's in Utah.
So, Utah is looking at a bunch of pieces besides the picks. Apparently Obi Toppin, apparently Quentin Grimes, apparently Emmanuel Quickley. Absent from that list, RJ Barrett. Why is RJ Barrett not on that list?
So I don't want to say this with any sort of, definitive nature.
Reportedly. Yeah.
No, I'm not even saying the reports are correct. All the reports are correct that Barrett doesn't make quite as much sense on either side in a deal like this. They're correct, but there's not a done deal. So negotiations change and priorities can change with them and structures of deals change with all those things. So I'm not saying, I don't want to imply or explicitly say that RJ Barrett is definitely not going to be in this deal, but the reason why it seems like, at least as of now, the more likely constructions of deals don't have him, because number one, from the Knicks angle, I mean, they've considered him the face and the future of their franchise, really ever since they drafted him 3 years ago. He made really, really nice improvements in the second half of last season. He basically averaged 25 a game after the calendar turned to 2022. And I don't think it was a coincidence, and I don't think it was a fluke. And the efficiency numbers were down. People concentrate on the shooting. To me, the efficiency numbers were really down because of his numbers around the rim, where his percentages are not as good as they should be. But he's very cognizant of that. He became obsessed over the last 3.5 months of the season. It was totally a conscious decision. He became obsessed with just attacking the hoop relentlessly. And it did wonders for his offense. I thought he just looked way better. He's only 22 years old, just turned 22. The Knicks really believe in him. And you're acquiring Donovan Mitchell to be good right now. You don't have to acquire him to win 60 games right now, but you have to acquire him to be good right now. Otherwise, why are you trading all this for Donovan Mitchell? And if you're going to be good, you need to hold on to your good players. And RJ Barrett has a chance to become an all-star caliber player. And I think the Knicks believe that. And they would like to hold on to that sort of guy who can help them in the present and also be a staple for their future. From the Jazz's side, Barrett is eligible for an extension this fall. And there's a, I mean, look, I'm sure he's asking for the max. So all of a sudden, he gets really expensive. And if Utah is going into year one of a rebuild, they have to really, really love a guy in order to pay him that much right off the bat and tie up some of their flexibility. It's a 25% max, and maybe he doesn't get it. Maybe he gets a little less. But all of a sudden, the value of a player like that, the value of a 21-year-old is they're on a rookie-scale contract. But the value of a player like that now is just fairly compensated. And when you're in a rebuilding situation, often you don't want the guys who are fairly compensated. You want them on the team-friendly contracts. And so I think that's why Barrett makes a little less sense in here than a Quentin Grimes or Emmanuel Quickley or Obi Toppin, who are, you know, have been in the league a year or two less than Barrett, and you get an extra year or two of rookie scale on them. And I think Grimes is a guy who's like, I don't know. I've been really in on Grimes from the beginning. I think Grimes has a chance to be a really good player.
Yeah, Knicks fans seem to love him. And I mean, my counter to the whole Barrett thing is that you're trying to get 30 draft picks so you can draft 30 players, so you can package those picks for somebody else you want. If you think RJ Barrett's going to be an all-star and he's really young and you're only paying him the 25% and you're basically emptying out your cap sheet to, you know, try to rebuild, then you want that guy, I think. And I really like RJ Barrett. I always have. So I kind of disagree with their position on it, but I mean, they know RJ Barrett better than I do. I'm sure they've been scouting him pretty hard, so they know what they're doing there.
I mean, look, it could change, right? Like, for now, Utah is just asking for an absolute swarm. This is why I'm not saying anything is definitive. Total hypothetical, I am making up because this is how trades tend to work, right? Utah could easily be saying right now, all right, here you've got to give us your 2023, your 2025, your 2027, and your 2029 picks. We want them all unprotected. And then we want three of the other team's picks that you have, and you got to throw in a swap, and then you got to throw in Quickley, and you got to throw in Obi Toppin. And Utah could easily be saying that. Knicks would be saying that is seven first round picks, four unprotected, and two legitimately good young players. Absolutely not. No way. And then you negotiate down, and Utah eventually says, okay, fine, we're going to go to six picks and you can remove one of the players. And then the Knicks say six picks is too much. And they say, fine, give us four picks and put in RJ Barrett. And then the Knicks maybe say, okay, well, maybe, you know, we'll see. That's kind of how that sort of stuff can tend to happen, even when neither side has the intention of putting RJ Barrett in. I'm not predicting that to happen. Like I said, I think
I hope it doesn't happen.
Construction.
It's so exciting, like I said, the idea of having Mitchell, Barrett, and Brunson all in New York together.
Yeah, well, totally. I mean, look, the other part of this is that Barrett is eligible for an extension before the season starts, and they are going to have to wait out negotiating that extension now. Just because of this, because of the chance is greater than zero that he's in a deal for Donovan Mitchell. And if he signs that extension, they can't put him in there. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's like the maniacal thing to do. Just be like, we're extending him right now. And then he's just off the table for Utah. Like,
that's
Utah
actually,
can't even ask.
That's pretty brilliant. That gives you a lot of leverage right there.
Yeah, you're like, sorry, can't have RJ Barrett now, and we're not giving you seven first-round picks. That's unprecedented and insane, and you can't counter by saying put RJ Barrett in. Maybe you want to extend him now if you're really against putting him in the deal.
And that is that is the interesting. No, I mean, good job, Leon. I mean, Fred, but
just call me Leon.
it was a good idea. The thing that's so interesting about this, the way that this has just been leaked out and the way that the market seems to be shaping up is that it seems like a pretty small market, too small of a market for the Knicks to have to give up this insane of a haul. Like we saw this with the KD situation where when the news came out that KD wanted out, people were talking about like how many all-stars do you have to trade for him? Do you have to give up 30 draft picks? And then nothing's happened because nobody wants to do it. And you can let the time of the market hang there and eventually kind of shrink down the ask. And so that's why I feel like it just seems absurd that the Knicks would have to give up such an absurd package just because they have it.
I think that's very fair. You know, I wrote in that story you referenced earlier that I think this has the potential to turn into a staring contest for that exact reason. The Knicks saying, we love Donovan Mitchell. Seven first round picks for anybody is ridiculous. And the Jazz saying, we've got 4 years left with Donovan Mitchell. We don't have to trade him right now. We'll just wait until somebody makes a better offer. And if it happens next summer, then it happens next summer. You know, I keep saying 4 years, but the final year is a player option. So maybe it's 3 years. Better for me to say 3 years. Yeah. But with the situation like this, what I will say is that when a team really, really wants a guy, they tend to just make it happen however possible. Look what happened with the Anthony Davis trade. Anthony Davis was like, I want to go to LA. I'm going to make things as awkward as possible My agent is going to announce things publicly about me wanting out. It's going to get so awkward that I, Anthony Davis, am going to miss like the half of the season after demanding a trade because things got so uncomfortable. People in New Orleans are going to feel uncomfortable about it, but it's my way of getting out. I will only go to the Lakers. I have only 1 year left on my deal, and I won't say if you trade for me, then I'm going to Los Angeles and I'm signing with the Lakers. And the Lakers had all the leverage in that situation, and they still gave up a ton for Anthony Davis. They didn't give up everything. They held on to Kyle Kuzma, but they gave up a ton. I mean, look, the Lakers lost 49 games this year, and they are not, they did not pick in the draft because of that Anthony Davis trade. Like, they gave up a lot. And
at least the Lakers did the right thing with hanging on to Kyle Kuzma. They figured out how to utilize that asset. Yes. Just right. Just right.
Yes. Well, it tends to happen when an organization is in a position to where they feel pressures don't necessarily just come from the basketball, and pressures don't necessarily just come from the vacuum of what's happening inside a negotiation. You know, you could say, okay, well, really the Heat are the only legitimate contenders. And there are some other teams where I could just guess like, oh, Donovan Mitchell makes sense. Like, I'd be like, oh, okay. If Toronto wanted Donovan Mitchell, I'd be like, yeah, sure. I get that. That makes sense. I haven't heard anything that Toronto wants him. And I think Toronto is waiting at the KD stuff too. And that domino is going to have to fall first for them. But you know, there are other places where I think Donovan Mitchell would make sense. I think the Knicks can give them the biggest, the best return. But like, look, Leon Rose and World Wide West and this front office was brought in part because of its relationships with players and the idea that they were going to gather young players, draft well, which they have, by the way, load up on draft picks. They haven't traded any of their own picks. They're plus four on first rounders. Even after dumping 6 second rounders for Jalen Brunson, they're plus two in second rounders still. They have good draft capital, and they are going to pounce when it's time to go get a star. And, you know, I think Karl Anthony Towns, CAA guy, which is the agency Leon Rose used to run, and Devin Booker, also CAA, Those guys ended up being on teams that just vaulted to the top of the standings way sooner than anybody would have predicted. And they end up extending, and they're just not going to leave. And Mitchell is kind of the guy. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was some sort of pressure to follow through with the plan. Like, okay, the plan was do this and go get the guy when the guy is available. And this is one of the guys, one of the tier one guys that we have been talking about. And he's available. And we are the favorites to get him, and we're not going to. So I understand that pressure. Even if you just look at it in a vacuum, you're like, that is too many picks. That is a lot for a guy who's never made All-NBA and might not. I mean, you know, what's he, top eight, top 10? I think you can maybe name 10 guards who are better than him, and you might think that's a lot. But it's like there are general employee pressures that go on with these sorts of things too.
Just to clarify, what agency reps Donovan Mitchell?
Oh, CAA.
Well, that'll do it for the Athletic NBA Show Daily Ding. Thank you for listening. He is Fred Katz, covers the Knicks for the Athletic. I'm Jared Weiss, cover the Celtics for the Athletic. Fred, what else do you got coming down the pike, or at least what other stories do you want to plug for us real quick?
Yeah, I mean, I've got, you know, I had that Mitchell story that went up late on Thursday. You can read that Friday over the Athletic New York or whenever else. I think I might have some Jalen Brunson stuff coming up. I've been brainstorming a Quentin Grimes thing. If he's still on the Knicks, I hope I don't start writing a Quentin Grimes thing and he's no longer on the Knicks. And maybe I could just fill in Tony Jones's job and write something on Quentin Grimes. Grimes has been destroying Summer League. He looks tremendous. And I don't know. I think it's real. I totally think it's real. Dude is roasting guys off the dribble, finishing around the rim. His passing looks so much better. And we know the jump shot is there. And we know the defense is there. And if he is 3-and-D plus, can do stuff off the dribble and run a pick and roll, my goodness, did the Knicks find something with the 20-some-odd pick. So I'm interested in Quentin Grimes. I think we're going to write some more.
Needs Donovan Mitchell when he got Quentin Grimes. All right, that'll do it for us here. We'll see you next time on the day.
Look, you know, New York, look, New York is the mecca of basketball.